Mira's asking me to announce that we need sponsors for the food for the 11 nights that we're going to have sessions in this masjid. We need you, inshallah, to help us out. The food is very costly. Two-thirds of our budget goes for the food here in this masjid. Two-thirds of our budget. So we need you to help us out, inshallah. May Allah bless you. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب أطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
الإمام أبو عبد الله الحسين عليه الصلاة والسلام is a phenomenal character in this universe. And everything that relates to him is also phenomenal. His birth, his life, his martyrdom, his legacy, his influence, his friendship, his companions, his family, and his grave in Karbala. They are all exceptional and phenomenal and unique in the history of mankind. And therefore, we are living now the days of his ziyara. As I speak to you, scores and scores of people of all ethnicities and backgrounds and ages are walking on foot to this, the Kaaba, the magnet of the lovers, the ashaq, the sweethearts. The hadith of Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam says, من زار الحسين عليه السلام فكأنه زار الله في عرشه. The one who pays tribute and visits the shrine of Imam Hussein as if he visited God in his throne. As if he visited God in his throne. And this is not too much. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised, because on the Day of Judgment we've been told that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to speak to some of his servants, the faithfuls, the good Muslims and good believers. Allah is going to criticize them. They are in paradise, but He's going to criticize them. He says to them, why didn't you come to visit me? To some of them. They say, Ilahi, do you have a place so we can come and visit you? You don't have a place. You are everywhere. How can we visit you? The answer comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هل لا زرت عبدي الفقير المريض المؤمن فوجدتني عنده. Didn't you visit my servants in this life, in this lower life, who is poor, and he's mu'min, and he was sick, and he had no family. When you visit such a person, you find me next to him, as if you have visited God. خداوند به بعضی از بندگان در بهشت، اونایی که وارد بهشت شدن، گله می کند. میگه چرا نیامدید برای زیارت من؟ بنده میگه کجا شما؟ مگر خدا شما خانه ای داری، آدرسی داری؟ خداوند میفرماید که بله بله، وقتی که بنده مؤمن من بیمار بود، چرا نرفتی برای عیادتش و زیارتش؟ هرگاه میری منو اونجا پیدا میکنی. So if a simple person who's mu'min, he has a good relationship with God, when you visit him as if you have visited God, what do you think about Imam Hussein? Sayyid Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. When you visit his shrine and his grave, it's not considered visiting God? Is this too much for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And therefore, the adab and the manners of the ziyarah. The ziyarah of Imam Hussein has manners and adab. We have been told by our imam that once you conclude with the ziyarah of the imam, you have to answer two salams, two greetings. One, you have to answer the greetings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who greets you once you conclude the ziyarah, and to answer the salam and the greeting and the welcoming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything that relates to Imam Hussein is great and exceptional in this universe. One of them is his grave, his mausoleum, and his shrine, the qabr of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We have in the ahadith that the shrine of Imam Hussein, rawdatun min riyad al-jannah, it is considered one of the gardens of paradise on earth. And this is the true feeling. This is not a metaphor. This is not a sensation. Ask those who have been to the ziyarah of Imam Hussein, ask them yourself. You might be one of them. If not, ask those who have been to the ziyarah. What is your feeling when you are inside the shrine of Imam Hussein? Not only inside the shrine of Imam Hussein, between his shrine and the shrine of his brother, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. What is your feeling? Ask millions and millions of people. This is not something that has been narrated or told by individuals, a few individuals. There is a consensus, ijma' consensus, that I feel that I'm in paradise. I'm in paradise. I'm in the Jannah. I don't want to leave this area. This is the feeling, the inner feeling that I develop, that I'm in paradise. I am in paradise. And this is not too much, of course. Imam Hussein gave everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He left nothing for himself. You know, his enemies, they stripped him completely. They stripped him from his clothes. They left nothing on him. He gave everything to Allah. In return, Allah the most generous. Allah is the one who teaches us generosity, how to be kind and generous. In return for the giving and the sacrifice of Imam Hussein, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this maqam and this position and this importance and this significance, that when someone, his visitors, his za'ir, when he goes there, he feels that he is in paradise. He is in paradise. The Economist, some of you are familiar with this magazine, The Economist, which is published in London for so many decades now. I used to subscribe to The Economist when I lived in London. Now you can read it online. There was a survey the other day published by The Economist, I believe 3 months ago. I saw the survey. The survey speaks about the largest gatherings of a human being on earth at one time, in one place. And it puts Karbala number one. Karbala is number one at 20 million during the Ziyarah of the Arba'in. This is The Economist. Because they see the figures with the satellite. And this is not an exaggeration. During the time of the Arba'in, the entire Iraq is empty from north to the south. Shops are shut down. No schools. Streets are like having a curfew. Empty, completely empty. Where are the people? The people are in Karbala. The people are heading to visit the shrine of Imam Hussein. 20 million visitor. 20 million visitor. And then The Economist, that it puts the second country, which is India. They have a function in India. And imagine India has over 1 billion. The population of India is a huge. Iraq is 28 million. India, close to 1 billion, the population of India. In India, they put the largest gathering of Hindu, there is Hindu ritual, Hindu ceremony, or festival, 12 million people gathered there, 12 million. 8 million less than the ziyarah of Imam Hussein in the Arba'in. Imagine Iraq is a third world country. There is no good governance. There is no security. You see Iraq in the news every day. Every day. There is every day there is mayhem and bloodshed in Iraq. The killing of the innocents. But this ziyarah, subhanallah, you can see the hand of Allah there interferes in organizing, engineering this ziyarah, designing the ziyarah. The flow of a tsunami of a human tsunami of people come from all corners of earth. They go towards Karbala with mediocre infrastructure. They don't have good infrastructure. You cannot even compare Karbala to Mecca and Medina. No way you can compare them. Those of you who have been to Karbala, you saw the infrastructure completely damaged. Completely. But still, you don't hear about any incident. You don't hear about any argument. Millions of people, they flow to the shrine of Imam Hussein with such a beautiful organization, helping each other. A visitor can leave his house all the way from Basra, the southern part of Iraq, and come to Karbala and go back to Basra. From Basra to Karbala, 550 kilometers. So that's a total of 1,100 kilometers. 1,100 kilometers. And he carries no money with him. You don't have to spend money. You want food? All sorts of food available, free. Drink, medicine. And sometimes I saw things that I didn't like. I did not like. Cigarettes, free cigarettes. You don't have to carry money with you. Although I do not believe in cigarettes, and I hope, inshallah, the one who visits Imam Hussein would stop smoking. But even that, it's available. Shoes available, clothing, hot showers, bed and a breakfast, food, medicine. You don't have to carry anything with you. I saw people offering cell phones, SIM cards, free SIM cards. You can get it, put it in your cell phone. This is the barakat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Something unique. It does not happen anywhere on earth. And my friends, you know, Iraq is going through exceptional circumstances. Iraq is not a normal country now. Iraq is in a state of war for the last 12 years. But despite that, people feel safe when you talk to them. When you ask them, you are not worried? They say, no, we are not worried. We are visiting Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. How can I be worried? We are visiting the one who gave himself, his children, his family, his daughter, his son, even the little ones. Abdullah, the son of Imam Hussein, was 6 months old. Ruqayya, who died in Damascus, was 3 years old. Aliyul Akbar was 27 years old, his oldest son. He gave them for the sake of Allah. How can I be worried about it? You have a sense of security, a sense of peace. Believe me, sense of peace. No government can create this sense of peace except Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the real governor. The real governor who governs the hearts and the souls and the minds and the aspirations of people. My friends, if there is an event anywhere on earth, and then something wrong happens, a tragedy, accident, this or that, you see people, they cancel their reservations. I remember after 9/11, for several months after 9/11, 2001 in America, I used to fly and the aircraft was empty, completely empty. Hotels were empty. Not only in America. I remember after 9/11, we went to Umrah in Mecca and Medina. I counted the people, the entire people who were in Masjid al-Haram were less than 100. We stayed at the Hilton Hotel. We were the only group. The entire hotel was empty. People were afraid. They did not travel. They stayed away. They stayed at home. Look at Iraq. There is bombing every day. Every day there is bombing in Iraq. But still, despite that, people leave their homes, their properties. They go with their children, with their families. You can see people as old as 90 years old. They can hardly walk. They can hardly walk. But when it comes for the ziyarah of Imam Hussein, they are ready to walk. And they say, if I die, I know I am going to go to paradise. You can see mothers. I've seen that with my own eyes. I wake up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning. I open the door. I look at people coming. Some of them, they have babies who are a few weeks old. Few weeks old. And the weather is freezing. And she's carrying the baby to the shrine of Imam Hussein. She's not worried about the safety of this baby. And she goes and she does the ziyarah and she comes back home safe and sound. No casualties. This is the design of Allah. This is the willingness of Allah. This is the design of the divine, of the ghaib, the unseen, is working to help Imam Hussein and advocate his cause. You know how many Imam Hussein has? Millions of people who love him, but at the same time he has also a big number of people who hate him. In the forefront of those who hate Imam Hussein are ISIS, Daesh, Al-Qaeda, the Wahhabis, the Salafis, the Jihadis. Yes, they hate Ahlul Bayt. They consider ziyarah to be a heresy, an act of heresy. An act of shirk. They claim that those Zawar, they don't worship God. They worship Hussein. But they don't read in their own books. The Prophet in Sahih al-Bukhari says, أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَحَبَّ حُسَيْنًا حُسَيْنٌ مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْ حُسَيْنٍ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَحَبَّ حُسَيْنًا. They don't read that. They are blind. When it comes to this sentence, they are blind. Because God says, sometimes I shut some people, I keep them blind. They are not worthy of my guidance, my hidayah and my iman. They are not worthy. طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ. غِشَاوَةٌ means a veil. Allah covers their minds and their hearts and their ears and their eyes with a veil so they don't see the truth. They are not worthy. They are not worthy of receiving this divine gift from Allah. They don't deserve it. This is why they call the ziyarah shirk. But it is an act of iman. Listen to what the Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says about the ziyarah. Muhammad ibn Muslim an Abi Ja'far. This is Imam al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam. Man lam ya'ti qabr al-Husayn min shi'atina. If someone is able to go and visit Imam Hussein, but he refrains, he does not go. He has the money, he has the means, he has the passport, he has the health, he can go, but he decides not to go. مَنْ لَمْ يَأْتِ قَبْرَ الْحُسَيْنِ مِنْ شِيعَتِنَا كَانَ مُنْتَقَصَ الْإِيمَانِ مُنْتَقَصَ الدِّينِ. His faith is incomplete. His religion is incomplete. So completing your religion and your faith by going and visiting the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, our sixth Imam, مَنْ لَمْ يَأْتِ قَبْرَ الْحُسَيْنِ وَهُوَ يَزْعَمُ أَنَّ لَنَا شِيعَةٍ حَتَّى يَمُوتِ فَلَيْسَ هُوَ لَنَا شِيعَةٍ. If someone is able to go and visit Imam Hussein and he claims he's the followers of Ahlul Bayt, the Shia of Ahlul Bayt, until he dies, he does not go and visit, he would not die as a Shia. He would not die as a Shia. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, إِنَّ مَنْ تَرَكَ زِيَارَةَ الْحُسَيْنِ وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Someone who abandons the visitation, the ziyarah of Imam Hussein, while he or she are able to perform the ziyarah, فَقَدْ عَقَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَعَقَّنَا. He becomes an dutiful to the Prophet and an dutiful to Ahlul Bayt. He did not fulfill his duty towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family. And Imam al-Sadiq says, لو أن أحدكم حج دهره ثم لم يزر الحسين. If someone goes to Hajj every single year, but he chooses not to visit Imam Hussein, لكان تاركا حقا من حقوق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He has abandoned one of the rights of the Prophet upon him. I remember 1987, we went to Hajj from Damascus. We landed in Jeddah and we tried to get a domestic flight from Jeddah airport to Medina. They said, you can't go unless you bring a paper. Imagine. You want to buy a ticket, domestic ticket, you have to bring a paper from the office of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. They have an office of those religious police. The office is called Amr bil Ma'ruf, enjoining good and forbidding evil. And the job of that office is exactly the opposite, enjoining evil and forbidding good. Go on and bring permission, a letter from them, so we can give you a domestic flight, half an hour, 30 minutes from Jeddah to Medina. So I went there. I was not wearing imama. I was wearing the white cloth, the Saudi dress. So someone was sitting behind the desk. His beard was taller than him, believe me, taller than his own size. So I went there and I said, I'd like to give me a paper so I can purchase a ticket. And I had a group with me of scholars who came from Damascus, but I was the spokesperson. So I went ahead of them. He said, but why do you want to go to Medina? I said, I want to visit the Prophet. He said, no, you are here for Hajj. You are not here to visit the Prophet. Who is the Prophet that you want to visit? Did he come to do Hajj or visit the Prophet? I said, both. What's wrong with them? I came to do Hajj and then visit the Prophet. There is a problem with that? He said, yes, there is a big problem. Because we don't have something called ziyarah. Ziyarah is bid'ah, innovation. Bid'ah, you created this. The Prophet never asked. I said, Shaykhana, in your books, you write that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, man hajja wa lam yazurni faqad jafani. Whoever comes to Hajj and then does not come to Medina to visit me had done disservice to me, disservice, disrespect, jafani. He disrespected me. He said, no, I don't accept this hadith. Go and visit God. You have God. Why do you visit Muhammad? I said to him, Shaykhana, the God that you talk about him, it was Muhammad who led me to God. Muhammad taught me that there is God. Otherwise, if there is no Muhammad, can you reach God? With your brilliant brain that you have, empty brain that you have, you can find God if there is no Muhammad? So I'm going to say thank you, Ya Rasulullah. You led me. You led me to God. Besides, if you claim that Muhammad is dead, why don't you still mention his name in the adhan, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah? Why do you do that? He said to me, go out. Don't argue with me. You'll get arrested. This is the answer. The answer of the ignorant. But alhamdulillah, we were able to get the ticket and we arrived in Medina, alhamdulillah. People who disrespect their leaders and their prophets. Can you find an American person today who tells you, I hate Abraham Lincoln? I hate George Washington? Can you find? You can't find. Can you find a Frenchman who says, I hate the revolutionary leaders of France, those who built France, the modern France for us? You can't find. But within the Muslims, you see people who hate their leaders. They hate the Messenger of Allah. They hate the Messenger of Allah. We do have those people. This is the production of Wahhabism. Wahhabism, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, who stands and he carries his cane, asa, cane. He says, this cane is more worthy than Muhammad. Because Muhammad is dead, has expired, but I can use this cane, it's useful, I can use it. This is the mentality of Wahhabism. This is what brought disgrace and shame to the Muslim Ummah with what you see now in the news. By what ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram are doing. You know the meaning of Boko Haram in Nigerian? I've been to Nigeria. You know what is Boko Haram? Boko means ta'lim, education. So education is haram for the girls. They should be illiterate. They should be completely illiterate. معنای این حزبی که دارن این آشغال هایی که هستن در نایجیریا به نام اسلام دارن مردم میکشن اسم حزبشون یعنی تعلیم چی میشه؟ آموزش دختران حرامه آموزش زن حرامه اسم حزبشون اینه ها آموزش حرام است پیغمبر اکرم میفرماید طلب العلم فریضتون على کل مسلم و مسلمه پیغمبر اکرم میفرمان واجب بر هر مرد و زن مسلمان برن و یاد بگیرن علم را تحصیل کنن اینا میگن حرامه And they kidnapped 300 girls from the school. Until this moment, they disappeared. Until this moment. Their parents, they know nothing about them. In the name of Islam. This is the production of Wahhabism and Salafism. This is the production of those who hate Ahlul Bayt. They diverted from the school of Ahlul Bayt. The school of truth. The school of justice. The school of reason. The school of Aql, the school of Ahlul Bayt. So if you visit Imam Hussein, it's haram. But if you visit Las Vegas, it's halal. When they come with their private jets and they land at Las Vegas and they spend their wealth on gambling, this is haram. Or in Monte Carlo, this is halal. This is halal. But to visit Imam Hussein, no. Stay away from that. This is bid'ah. And you know why they call it bid'ah? They don't want you to know They do not want you to know who killed Imam Hussein. They don't want you to know what happened. When it comes to the history, they say, shut your mind, shut your ears. Don't read, don't discuss history. They don't want you to know who is who. I have a nephew who was in the Vatican yesterday. There was a conference. It was broadcasted live on CNN. So he was part of the delegation who went from Najaf to the Vatican. And he said, there were many religions. There was a conference headed by the Pope. He was sitting in the middle, the Pope. And there were some Buddhists and Hindus and Jews and Christians and Muslims, Shias and Sunnis. So there was a delegation going from Egypt, Qahira, Misr. Sheikh from Egypt, I saw his picture. My nephew says, he said, Ammu, I spoke with this Sheikh. I told him about Arba'in and Imam Hussein. And what happened to Imam Hussein? The Sheikh from Al-Azhar, he told me, I hear this for the very first time. Very first time he knows about what happened to Imam Hussein. And he said he started crying. He said, I feel sorry for Ahlul Bayt. Why people treated them in such a miserable way? Why people killed Imam Hussein? Imagine this is from the heart of Cairo. Because they don't want people to know about Ahlul Bayt. Another sheikh from Syria, he told me 5-6 years ago. He said, we kept asking our forefathers and fathers and teachers and mentors and educators, tell us about Imam Hussein. They said, no. It's a taboo. Don't mention this. This is fitna. It brings commotion and fitna and discord and disunity, so don't mention. Don't mention. Ajib. So then even if we mention Rasulullah and Abu Jahl, it will create some fitna. Even today, if you curse Satan, some people will be unhappy. They tell you, no, don't curse Satan. You create fitna. So I should not curse Satan because some people will be unhappy? Shouldn't we speak the truth? What is our job on earth? Just to eat and drink? Not to speak the truth? Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, when it comes to the ziyarah of Imam Hussein, he says, Muru shi'atana. Command them, ask them, Muru shi'atana bi ziyarati qabr al-Hussein. Ask them to go. Insist on them to go to visit the shrine of Imam Hussein. فَإِنَّ إِتْيَانَهُ For the visitation of Imam Hussein, يَزِيدُ فِي الرِّزْقِ It will increase your sustenance, your provision, your rizq. It would not decrease it. Allah will return that to you. Many folds. يَزِيدُ فِي الرِّزْقِ وَيَمُدُّ فِي الْعُمْرِ It would prolong your life. وَيَدْفَعُ مَدَافِعَ السُّوءِ It is going to protect you against the calamities and the tragedies in your house, in your family, with yourself, in your business. وَيَدْفَعُ مَدَافِعَ السُّوءِ وَإِتْيَانُهُ مُفْتَرَضٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ The visitation of Imam Hussein is mandatory upon everyone? No. عَلَى كُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ A true believer. Allah says in this book, not all people are mu'mins. Allah says in this book, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرَ The followers of the Anbiya in this book. This is not me, this is him. His statement. He says, the followers of the Prophet, مِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ Among them, those who believed, and among them, those who rejected. Rejected. So Imam al-Sadiq says, the visit, the ziyarah of Imam Hussein is mandatory, not upon all. No. Some people don't have the capacity. They don't have the capacity. Stay at home. Don't go. Upon the mu'min, the one who received the true light of faith, iman, who has iman. على كل مؤمن يقر له بالإمامة من الله. Everyone who believes that Imam Hussein is a true Imam, a true Caliph of God on earth, must go and visit him. Why the ziyarah is so important? Ziyarah is so important because ziyarah is considered, it's considered a campaign against what? Zulm, injustice in this universe. This is why it's important. The ziyarah of all the imams are important. But Imam Hussein stands unique in that his ziyarah, when you go to his shrine, you are. This is a statement, a declaration by you that I am against oppression, against corruption in this universe. I am with justice. I am with the truth. This is why dictators are afraid of the ziyarah of Imam Hussein. During the time of the Ba'ath party in Iraq, Saddam Hussein, before him Ahmad Hassan al-Bakr, for almost 40 years. They came to power in 1963 until 2000. Remember 2003? How many years from 63 until 2003? 4 decades. The ziyarah was banned. You go to a nightclub, they encourage you. Go to the nightclub. Go to the disco. Go to the fahsha. Go to the munkar. Go to immoral, corrupt places. They encourage you. But don't mention the name of Karbala or Imam Hussein. It's forbidden. Why it's forbidden? Because they are tyrants. They know if people go to the ziyarah, they're going to be inspired by Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein stood for justice. Imam Hussein stood not only for the Muslims, for the entire humanity. This is why in his camp, you see an African person. African, black. He was in the camp of Imam Hussein. And when this African by the name of John, when this African man was killed, Imam Hussein comes. And historians say he did something surprising. We were surprised. صنع معه ما لم يصنع إلا مع ولده علي الأكبر. Imam Hussein did this act only twice in the battlefield. One time with his son Ali al-Akbar, the dearest one to him, and one time with this African man, young man who was killed, the black man. He disembarked from his horse, dismount his horse, and he bends down and he puts his cheek on the cheek of this martyr. He says, Hani Allak, good for you. Imam Hussein wants to say, this is not less important than my son. This is not less important. This is my companion. He was loyal to me. He stood with me. Although Imam Hussein said to him before the battlefield, before the battle erupted, he said to him, John, I want you to go back to your family. I don't want you to be killed. He said, Aba Abdullah, Ana fi al-rakha'i al-hasu qisa'akum wa fi al-shiddati akhdhulukum. La wallah la yakunu dhalik. At the time of ease and comfort, I follow with you, I eat with you, and I serve you, and I'm proud to serve you. Now you are asking me at the time of difficulty, this difficult time, you want me to leave you? I am not that type of person. I'm not going to leave you, Abu Abdullah. I am with you. And I wish that my blood will get mixed with the blood of your children and your family. Ya Abu Abdullah, inna hasabi lalaim, wa inna rihi lanatin, wa inna lawni laaswad, fatanaffas alayya bil jannah, fayatibu rihi, wa yusharraf hasabi. When I get killed with you, Ya Abu Abdullah, this is my ultimate honor. This is an ultimate honor you have given me. So don't deprive me from this opportunity. Imam Hussein stood on him when he was martyred. He said, Allahumma tayyib riha wa sharrif hasabah واحشره مع محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Oh Allah, enlighten his face. Honor him in paradise. Oh Allah, provides him with a beautiful fragrance. فَكَانَ كُلُّ مَنْ يَمُرُّ فِي أَرْضِ الْمَعْرَكَةِ يَشُمُّ مِنْهُ رَائِحَةً أَثْكَى مِنْ رَائِحَةِ الْعِطْرِ وَالْعَنْبَرِ الْمِسْكِ وَالْعَنْبَرِ. Be loyal to Imam Hussein, my friends. Now, I conclude with one hadith. Imam al-Sadiq says, if you could not go to the ziyarah, circumstances did not allow you, you could not make it, what do you do here? Imam al-Sadiq, you can do something to offset going physically to the ziyarah. You still can get the thawab and the reward. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, إِذَا بَعُدَتْ بِأَحَدِكُمُ الشُّقَّةِ وَنَأَتْ بِهِ الدَّارِ. If your house is too far from Karbala, you can't go to Karbala, you can't make it. But your heart, of course, your heart is with the Zuwar. When you look at their picture on television, you wish to be with them. You wish to be with them. By wishing to be with them, you will be with them. You will be with them. You will get the thawab. If this wish is sincere, comes from the bottom of your heart, and you wish to go but you could not make it, you will get the reward for that, for the gift for that. So if your house is far, فَلْيَعْلُ أَعْلَى مَنْزِلٍ لَهُ. You know, in the Middle East, you can go to the roof of the house, the top of the house. Here, you can't go, but you can go to the second floor if you have third floor. If not, go to the backyard. Someone open under the sky. And there, do two rak'ah prayers. And then, turn to the direction of Karbala and say only this sentence. Only this sentence. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Send your greetings to the direction of Karbala. It will get to the shrine of Imam Hussein. It would be accepted. You will get the thawab. So the man said, when Imam al-Sadiq, he taught me this, Imam said, you may say it once, at least once a day. It would not take any time. It would not take more than 30 seconds. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The man said, when I heard this from Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Sadiq said, yuktabu laka zawrah. It would be written and documented for you, zawrah. What is zawrah? Imam al-Sadiq explains himself. He says, "Az-zawrah hajjatun wa umrah." You get the price, the reward of one hajj and one umrah by saying this sentence to Imam Hussein. So the man said, I started saying that several times, sometimes 20 times during the day. 20 times. Whenever I remember, I say, "As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah." As-salamu alayka wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will speak more inshallah on the ziyarah tomorrow during Salat al-Jumu'ah. We ask Allah to enable us inshallah to write our names in the list of the Zuwar of Imam Hussein. In the list of the Zuwar who received the blessing of going to Karbala and sympathizing with Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. I have no doubt, it is in the ahadith, that not only angels are surrounding the mausoleum, the shrine of Imam Hussein, the soul of the Anbiya, Arwahul Anbiya, they descend. God gives them permission to come down to the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. They circumambulate around the shrine of Imam Hussein. The spirits of the Anbiya, including Khatam al-Anbiya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us now the thawab of the ziyarah, and inshallah in the future, whenever you can make it, try to go to the ziyarah. Try to go. Whenever you are able. It's a sympathy with the Prophet, with his mother Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, with the Anbiya. And one sentence before I conclude. The anniversary of passing away of Hajj Hassan Yasa'i and many others, which remind us of something important, that we have a journey ahead of us. We have a journey. And we cannot say no to this journey. We can't say no. We can't refuse. In this life, sometimes you get invited to a trip, to a journey. Someone says, I'll buy the ticket for you. I'll pay for you. You have the option of either saying yes, or you can say no. No, I don't want to come. I don't have time. But that journey ahead of us, I can't say I can't make it. I can't say I have no time for it. I can't say leave it for next week or next month or next year. I'm still young. I can't say that. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ When the ajal, the hour of departure comes, لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ Neither they going to be before schedule nor behind. On time. On time. This journey requires preparation. We should not be taken by surprise. This journey requires preparation. And the best preparation for this journey, the best equipment that we carry with us is taqwa. Taqwa Allah, piety. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٌ With taqwa. Staying away from sins. Staying away from sins, from temptations of this life. Purifying ourselves. That's the best equipment we carry with us. That's the best provision we carry with us in this journey. To stay away from that. On the day of Ashura, just before the battle broke, Imam Hussein stood and he looked at his companions. He said, Ashabi, my companion, if someone among you has a debt or a loan, he should not join us. He should not join us. I would not allow him to fight. They said, why? He said, because even if he gets killed in this battle, the most sacred battle with Imam Hussein, imagine with Imam Hussein being part of his companion, and he has a loan, he has not paid his loan, they would not allow him to make it to paradise. They will keep him there. This is akhlaq. This is called akhlaq. This is called akhlaq. This is called commitment. Allah says, don't come to me and expect me to take you to paradise, even if you are killed with Imam Hussein, with him, in the same line. But if you have some debt, because there is حقوق الله and there is حقوق Nas, people. You can't get away with that. And sometimes حقوق الناس are material. You take money from them, you don't give it back. Sometimes they are immaterial, spiritual. Like an insult. You insult someone. You accuse someone unjustly and wrongly. This is also crime. Crime does not mean that you take away $1,000 from someone. You rob him of his cell phone or his money or his credit card or his car. No. Sometimes you rob him of his reputation, his dignity. His dignity and his reputation. This is also a crime. And we have to ask, we have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith says, "Man ahana li waliyan," hadith al-Qudsi, narrated by Allah himself. He says, if you insult wali, someone in the community, mu'min, faqad barazani bil muharaba, as if you have carried the sword and you stood before God and you want to fight with God. If you insult a human being in the community. This is akhlaq. Ahlul Bayt, they teach us akhlaq. Other than that, it's not the school of Ahlul Bayt. If we violate these rules, we should not call ourselves Shia. Call yourself something else. Find another name, but not Shia of Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt came to purify us. To purify us. To graduate with A+, with honor from this life. And they were the role model for us. But unfortunately, many people, they say, "Ya Hussein," and they say, "We are followers of Hussein," and they commemorate Hussein, but they stand with Yazid in the camp of Yazid. With their actions, with their behavior, they are not Husseinis, they are Yazidis. They are Yazidis. I commend Hajj Ja'far Yasa'i for remembering his father. And I said this many times in the past. Oftentimes when our parents die, we forget about them. We remember them in their first anniversary, second, third, and that's it. They expire. But to be loyal to your parents is to remember them every day, every day. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا وَاجْزِهِمَا بِالْإِحْسَانِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِالسَّيِّئَاتِ غُفْرَانًا. This should be the prayers of every day. Who's closer to us than our parents? Who has the right of life upon us more than our mothers and our fathers? Who's? Who protected us? Who nurtured us, who built us, who made us true human beings other than our parents? Should we forget them? Is this insaf? Is this justice if we forget our parents? We become busy with the dunya, with celebrations and Thanksgiving and Christmas and shopping and this and that. And when it comes to your parents, they are the last one to be remembered. This is not justice. This is not justice. Justice is to put your parents first. While they are alive, you respect them, you honor them. And if they are dead, you remember them. Remember them. By doing khairat on their behalf. Say, I spend this money, I give this food, this medicine. This nasiha, advice, sometimes no money, but there is advice. You can say something good. Quran says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Sometimes the price of saying something good is worth more than $1 million. You can bring two hearts together with something beautiful. Say, I do this and I ask Allah to send the thawab, the reward for the soul of my mother, for the soul of my father, who taught me, who nurtured me, who made me true Muslim. Remember your parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ. Do not be any dutiful to your parents. This is not a character of a Muslim, to forget your parents. You don't have to have a ceremony for them. Quranic recitation, very simple. Every morning after Salatul Fajr, couple of pages, and then say, I send the thawab of this to the soul, to the grave of my mother. It will send a gift. Believe me, there are a hadith, not only one hadith. It says that your loved ones who are buried, they wait for your gift. They are waiting. They are waiting for you to say Suratul Fatiha, Quranic recitation, charity, this and that. They are waiting for this gift. They receive the gift inside their grave. They receive it. So don't forget them. Don't do disservice to them. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let's recite زيارة